Lord, we believe that you're with us. And we're grateful that you're with us, even though our hearts tend to stray from you. Lord, you are faithful, and you are good, and you are powerful, and you love us. And I pray, Lord, as we get into your word this morning, that you would help us to have a greater vision of your love for us through the cross of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You may have a seat, unless you're a fourth or fifth grader, then you must leave. You don't have to leave. You can stay. Good morning.
Hey, good morning,
Mountain. It's so great to be with you here this morning. As Shane said, we are continuing our study through Genesis. And we're going to be in chapter 29 this morning. We're going to be in 29 verses 1 through 30, almost the whole chapter, not quite. And we've been following Jacob on this journey. Jacob is one of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And it hasn't been pretty thus far. But the Lord is working. The Lord is slowly transforming Jacob. And we're going to start to see even more ways that God is going to work in Jacob's life this morning. And one of the things that's happening with Jacob is that there's a kind of sin, a kind of brokenness in his life that he doesn't see yet. Even though Jacob is Abraham's grandson, he's one of the great patriarchs of the faith, he's an heir of the promises of God, there is a kind of sin in his heart that he's just not aware of quite yet. He doesn't understand this until, as we see today, his life begins to open. Before we get into the text, what I want to do is show you the roots of this sin. Even how we saw some of it last week, it's important that we see this because the way that Jacob struggles with this sin in his own life is a very much like the way that you and I struggle with this in our life. You can see his problem, his challenge in like seed form in the text that we looked at last week. If you remember, Jacob had this incredible dream in which he was given a vision of the angels from heaven kind of ascending and descending on this staircase, this ladder between heaven and earth. And in the dream, he sees God at the top, up above, and God gives Jacob the promise that was initially given to his grandfather, Abraham. He makes a covenant with him, so to speak. And then at the end of that dream, Jacob says, surely God is in this place. He says he set up a pillar of stones as a memorial to that moment. And then after that, look at what he said. It says in verse 20 of chapter 28, Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, will keep me in this way that I am, will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house. So then, this is a conditional exchange. Now, certainly as a result of this dream that Jacob had, he's different from before. It seems as if, to some degree or another, before, Jacob was really only living for himself, right? Remember, he cheated his brother with a bowl of stew. He fooled his father into giving him the blessing, and so he has the birthright and the blessing. And now, because of his self-centeredness, Jacob has had to run for his life from his brother. And when he has this incredible vision from God, he's now in part saying, I'm no longer going to live for myself. So at least there's a part of him that's starting to change, that he's willing to live for God. It's a giant if on the front of this. He isn't yet saying, God, whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. He hasn't said, God, you know better than me, so I'm going to follow you, even if it means fear and pain and trial. He's saying, as long as you give me what I need, then I will follow you. In other words, as long as God proves to Jacob that he will provide, then Jacob will stick with him. So Jacob's not exactly living for himself, but he's not fully living for God yet either. It's transactional. It's a step closer, but he's not there yet. And I can't help but notice in this exchange, in this moment in Genesis 28, that Jacob is treating God remarkably like.
Good morning, church. Welcome.
Treat their gods.
Today we are continuing to walk through the book of Genesis, and we're going to continue to see our God is faithful to his promises, even to a very increasingly dysfunctional family.
They don't believe there's like an almighty power over all of creation. Rather, they believe you can worship kind of anything that's created.
You can, but to all you can who are weary,
worship gods
who need
that are
rest.
Localized.
To all who are mourning and long for comfort.
But really, anything that's created. So you could worship the sun or the
welcome
rain
this morning
or the sea or
Jesus.
Fertility
Let's
or
pray.
Sexuality or war or finances or kind of anything
in, heaven,
in between. It's almost like you know, those you sketchy salesmen
God.
With the watches in their trench coat.
Lord,
go, oh,
even
God,
when
man,
we
kinda,
fall short,
God,
even when we feel like we are unlovable.
It's like whatever you want.
That we are not worthy of your love.
Right? You can't worship them all, so you just you focus and you take that God or those few gods and you focus on them and you focus on securing through them the benefits that they could give you in your life through sacrifice or through obedience or through some kind of ritual. And so you serve this God and the God gives you the life that you want. It's transactional. You take that created thing and you make it the center of your life.
Whenever my dad says
you put your hope.
My mom will kind of sneak
in a word, you look to it to try to save you.
Says, God always
now, this is stunningly similar
Disneyland.
To modern, secular
I do too.
Americans.
She always
sure, we don't call them
go
gods. We might not
sometimes
build the shrines
her,
of worship, per se.
Sometimes
but many secular Americans claim that they don't believe in
my
God. They don't. They claim that they don't worship
me,
anything, that there's no God over all things, but they are simply wrong.
Heart.
Every single
she
person has something
dinner,
in the center of their lives. We all worship something. And so even this morning, people are running all over our city. Seeking out the God
her,
of food, or the God of pleasure,
whenever
or the God of
like
sex, or the God of success,
or
the God of
like
comfort. They make
show,
gods out
like
of sports and their children and their jobs
she,
and their significant others. Where
she
Jacob doesn't understand God is not unique
so
to Jacob.
And,
it is the common condition
yeah,
of all humanity.
Really warm.
And so Jacob has claimed that he will follow God, but he's really only following his own needs. He still, in a sense, has himself at the center of his priorities. In other words, he's not following God for God's sake. He's following God for his own.
She's always there. She is.
And what our text today shows us is that anything other than God at the center of our lives will inevitably
always showing me what sacrificial love looks like.
Anything, if you put anything else at the center of your heart, if you put anything else at the center of your affections, it will bring sorrow into your life. And we're going to look at three movements in the narrative that are going to help us understand our own hearts. And I confess to you that as I was thinking about titles for these three sections, I had Michael Caine in mind. In you guys know the movie The Prestige with Christian Bale? He goes, there's three parts to any magic trick.
Kind
the pledge.
Loving.
The turn.
Praying
and the
with me when I feel sad. Right?
So it's the second time I got to do a Cockney accent.
Thank you, Mom, for loving me.
It's a good
thank
last
you,
Sunday. So I kind of, I don't know why that came into my mind, but the pledge, right, this agreement between Jacob and Laban, it shows us this first
Happy
one shows
Mother's
us how
Day.
Easily our hearts
so
can
cute.
Be mastered.
No,
next
but really,
is the deception that shows
the room,
us that God won't allow our
whether you're
idols
a mom,
to save us
biological or adoptive, fostering, or you just act as a mom in someone's life.
Okay, so first the pledge.
You.
Before we get into the text,
we,
let me just
we
quickly
celebrate
bring
you
up
today.
To speed because we're,
I hope that you feel
we're skipping over. I'm gonna
I know, and we all know how much
Genesis
work it takes to be a mom. All the things that aren't seen.
After Jacob left Bethel, after he had that vision of God, he began a long journey to the north to a region called Haran.
Probably never
really appreciate
all the things.
Him away because his brother Esau
and so I
want to
encourage
wanted
this morning,
to kill him.
One
so they sent him away to
stage,
his uncle Laban
that, just to
in Haran.
Us that
and after
God
this long and
you,
difficult
moms,
journey, he's trying
he
to find
the work
his family.
He sees
he,
the sleepless
he arrives
nights,
at a well, and one of
the
first people the
prayers,
he
meets he sees
is
it.
Rachel.
And
Rachel is
you.
Beautiful.
And he celebrates
and,
it. And so
Jacob is
just
immediately
say, your labor is
captivated by her. And amazing.
This is also your reminder to everybody.
So
if you are able,
from the very
you have no excuse. You should reach out to your moms today.
Into.
So you're welcome.
And so
I've done
my due diligence here,
to remind you of that.
He meets Rachel. He's just overwhelmed
and we
with
also
emotion
acknowledge that
at
a day like
finishing
today can
his
be
long
harder for some.
Journey. And so he
and
kisses
so
her and he weeps.
And
he's just not romantic.
To be a
mom, just in greeting. He kisses her and he weeps with
joy.
And Rachel runs to tell her father, Laban, that Jacob has arrived. And so Laban comes out, comes running out. He embraces him. He kisses him. He welcomes him into the family. And Jacob spends about a month with them. Okay, so it's
now,
after that month that we pick up in verse 15.
Programming.
Look at what it says, Genesis 29,
welcome.
15.
Church family,
then
it's so
Laban
good to see you.
To Jacob,
if you are new
you are
or newer here at Mountain View,
should you therefore
just want to say,
serve
we would
me for
love
nothing?
A chance
Tell
to
me.
Meet you.
What shall your wages
so
be?
So if after this service,
now,
if you would like,
Laban
you can go out this way, turn to the right, and there's
the
a connect
the
area
Leah,
where some folks would just love to get to know
Rachel.
You. Know your
Leah's
name,
eyes were weak,
and know how we can help serve
Rachel
you or help you get plugged in, whatever it is that you need. We would love a chance
Jacob
to do that.
Loved
and as a way of saying thank you,
said,
we want to give you a free book
serve you
from the
7 years.
As a way of saying
daughter,
thank you for
Rachel.
Entrusting us
Laban
with your
says,
Sunday morning today.
It is better that I give her to you.
A couple of announcements. We've got one, a young
Stay
adult, also known as
so,
Yah.
Jacob
together tonight.
7 years for Rachel.
Am I saying that
And they
right?
seemed to
no.
him, but a few
YA, That's Young cool Adult love. Together Night is happening this Tuesday at 6:30.
You might read this
It's a time for connection and conversation.
Like, this
I'm told that it's
going to
have
crazy.
The feel
like,
of a larger, more accessible
and
life group. And so
kind of
if you're plugged in here,
Laban
you're a young adult, or
like
you're just looking to get connected with
way.
Other folks in that age.
They're family, so it seems like he should just be happy that Jacob's there and happy that he maybe has a potential
suitor
because
the young adults
for one of
are
his
have
daughters.
A lot of things going
but instead,
on
this
summer.
Feels
like
oddly
hikes,
like a
going
business
to park,
transaction.
Tuesday food
it?
Trucks. There's a
You'd
lot
be exactly
happening.
Right to
so
say
if you
to think
want to know more about
unusual,
those things,
is indeed
text
highly
that
unusual,
YA
especially
to
because
that
they're family. There
and you'll get
be
all
this
the information
kind of like
and details.
Bartering and potential
now,
exploitation.
My wife was at the first service,
the
so I got to like, look at her as I said
if this kind of conversation.
And I don't normally bring my wife up
even
in my
more
announcements,
surprising
but today it's Mother's
them,
Day.
Because
she's
of
a mother of three,
strength
so I figured,
of the family
what a
bonds.
She said something I thought was pretty profound last week.
Is using his daughters.
We had had a long day. We
He's
were
using his daughters
you know, I worked.
To
she
get
was with the girls
labor
all day.
Of
we
Jacob.
Wrangle these three girls into bed.
And he treats his daughters
and right
kind
as we're kind
of
finishing
livestock.
Up, there's a couple coming over
Doesn't
for
he, like,
premarital
bartering
counseling,
and trading them,
which we love.
They can be traded
wherever you're
and
at,
sold.
We love you guys,
funny,
and it was so much fun.
And also a little bit sad.
But we were tired.
Is that
and at the end of that night, my wife said,
cow.
Serving is so good for my
you
soul.
You guys know that emoji?
It gets my eyes off myself and onto others.
That's my favorite.
And I couldn't
so
agree
your name
more.
Is Leah or
Serving
Rachel.
Is good for your soul. And so for the past
Sorry.
Couple of weeks, you've heard about the different serving opportunities and needs
but
that we
it,
have
it's
here.
A little bit ironic.
And I just
it's
kind
of funny because
you know,
he's treating them like
give you kind of an encouragement that
the
if
point
you
is,
call
Laban
Mountain View your church
kind of a creep.
Home, we would, our hope
swindler,
for you would be that you would have a way or a place that you would serve
Jacob,
and bless this
grabber,
body with the gifts that
cheater.
God has given you.
The one
so
who
some
has
of the ways
made his way
that.
Through
talked
this
about
world,
MVCC kids,
shirking the system,
a number
and
of times,
cheating
there's
to make
still
his way
a pretty big need
by.
In our
but Jacob, in
this
moment,
this
he's
summer.
Got stars in his eyes and butterflies in his stomach
and
because of the beauty of Rachel.
Workers.
So the master trickster
so
Jacob is now vulnerable
like a,
because his discernment
a
is
commitment
clouded.
Just
what's
for
happening.
The summer. It's not indefinite.
Jacob is no longer
summer.
Living for himself.
And it's an immediate need. It's something that's coming up very soon. We want to give all of our teachers who serve all through the year a rest during that time. And if you might be thinking, well, I have
his
summer plans.
For her is absolutely
good news. We all do. It's the summer.
He's
so don't let
do
that be a hindrance
to
you serving. We would love for you to serve even still. You stepping
for his
in
uncle
could mean the difference
Laban
in families and kids getting to worship. And so
to marry a woman
maybe
that
the Lord is
a
leading
a
in that. Some other opportunities,
that's a
we our middle school and
high
school high crew is growing.
Like, it wouldn't have been unusual for a bride price to be exchanged.
So
this is
we need
unbelievable.
Eight more leaders
okay,
for the fall.
You might give Jacob the benefit of the
doubt.
Our
college ministry
like,
is continuing to grow as well. We're looking for more
the
leaders there if you were
love,
more inclined to
right?
serve with
he
college students. And our Sunday morning team,
at least
who we
the
reap
idea.
The benefits of every single morning,
but
the
he
coffee,
seems simply
the ushers,
to
the greeting,
not be going
all of that
after
that creates
her for the
a
right
warm
reasons.
And hospitable environment,
his own
they're recruiting
desire.
For help as well.
Now, you might say, like,
and
how do you know that
life,
from the text? How do we know what he's
going
after?
Serving is good for your soul.
How do we know that he's got Rachel at the center of heart rather than God's
plan? Now, from time to time, we like to just remind or update people on how we give and the way that we give. Because you'll notice, or maybe you haven't noticed, but we don't pass a plate on Sunday mornings. And part of the reason for that is we want your giving to be done freely, faithfully, and as an act of worship.
And you might not remember this, but this is meant to remind you of a story that happened just 5 chapters.
Just so you know, the ways that you can give, we have offering boxes in the back.
Abraham sent a servant of his.
But probably the more convenient way is going to be online using our church center app. You can click on give, and it's a simple way you can give.
For his son Isaac.
And now finally,
dad, I know there's this.
If you were like me last week, you heard this announcement.
Abraham sent a servant to Laban in Haran to find a bride.
For a sabbatical for the summer.
And he ends
there was like this pause there, and my heart sank in that moment. And I was like, wait, I didn't know about this.
It's a stunningly
similar
account.
Thankfully, the truth is we changed the slide even. On sabbatical, Aaron LaDuke. Today is going to be his final time preaching before he takes a 3-month sabbatical
of Abraham
and
is a
hopefully gets to connect with the Lord and with his family.
God.
We're so grateful.
He's
and so I'm going to spend some time praying for him before
oaths
we
and
dismiss
commitments
and
to God.
One
he's
another.
Asking the
so
Lord
I'm pray for
guidance. How am I going to know the one that you sent for my master's son to be married to? How am I going to know God? He's always asking. Abraham's servant is this man of incredible faith, incredible reliance on God. And then when we get to Jacob, nothing.
Father,
in all 30 verses, there is zero
so grateful for Aaron,
mention
for his
of God. No
leadership,
prayer, no seeking,
his,
not even a little bit.
The way that he is so faithful,
it doesn't
with
mean
your
God's
word,
not working.
And the way that he doesn't,
but he's not mentioned, and he's
I know
he's not
he doesn't come to your word with an
Jacob's
agenda.
View.
God, he lets
Jacob
your
is completely
word
captivated by
and
Rachel's
Lord, we are all blessed by it.
Has
God, in this time where he gets to step away,
anything,
Lord, let it be a time where he really
God
gets to rest
at the center of
find
our
refreshment.
Will bring
God, I pray that he connects with you.
Let me show you
with
one way that this comes,
and
that we
Lord,
can apply this practically.
He comes back.
There's potentially not a better text in the Bible to explain this principle,
and
it's primarily
Lord,
for those of you that are single.
Because we thank you for him
okay
and the way that you are using him in our lives.
Let me just state it like this. Amen. Physical attraction.
All right. So now we're going to take a few moments before we dive into God's word. Greet one another. If you need a talking point, maybe share last minute Mother's Day gift
physical
ideas.
Attraction is perhaps the worst initial criteria for deciding on a potential, you know, relationship. Like when physical attraction, when beauty becomes the primary gatekeeper of relational interest, that idea literally flips upside down biblical priorities. And so what happens is you might walk into a room, you know, as a single person, you see a bunch of other single people, and you immediately discount all the people that you're not physically attracted to. Right? You've excluded them as a result of the fact that you're not physically attracted to them. When you do that, you are missing what the Bible emphasizes as the primary marks of relational chemistry. You're missing the primary things that the Bible says is going to make a good spouse. Godly character, faithfulness, love for God, humility. You're just, you could be excluding giant swaths of people. And so a physical attraction is your God. It is the consuming center of your heart in that regard. It will unquestionably lead to sorrow. It will lead to all kinds of brokenness. Now I know that this is not an issue only for single people.
Would you guys
the desires of our heart is not an issue only for single people, but it's certainly a pressing one. And this text speaks very directly to that. Jacob gets blinded.
So praise the Lord.
By physical beauty.
Hey, brothers and sisters, hear this from the book of John.
By physical attraction.
Jesus says this.
Do
so Jesus
this
said to
for
them.
Him is an issue of misplaced worship? Do
Jesus
you see
says,
how Jacob
truly,
fell
truly,
into that
I
trap?
Say
my question
to you,
is, have you?
I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves
friends,
and robbers.
Don't let
the
world
the
tell you how
them
to discern wisely.
I'm the door.
Look at the words. Seek counsel in the body. Seek the leading of the spirit. But don't trust your heart.
The thief comes only to steal and kill, destroy.
Okay, we're going to move on.
They may have life and
let's look at the deception that happens next. So Jacob is tricked. What we see here is that God is not going to allow our idols to save us. Here's what it says in verse 21. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. He to her. Laban gave his female servant Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her servant. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why this? Now, perhaps the most obvious question is, how on earth did Jacob betray? There's a few ways to understand how he was doing. First of all, maybe it's most obvious that we forget about this. That's why time but on top of that, the bride would have been heavily veiled, head to toe, fully covered. Okay? So there's those two things. But then third, maybe the most important, maybe not right at all. If you look at verse 22, it says, Laban made a feast. But that word doesn't just mean a meal. It means a drinking feast. So there's a chance that Jacob didn't have his full So I want you to notice the irony. Jacob is deceived in the dark by swapping out one sibling from another to receive the blessing. Just did to Isaac. He has to remind you of that. He took advantage of his blind father who was in the dark. He pretended to be his sibling and he stole the blessing. Okay, so on the surface here, what's happening is Jacob is getting his due reward. The deceiver has now been deceived. And there's a sense in which God is working out this idea of reciprocity, right? He's giving Jacob what he deserves. There is a brutal but poetic justice. Maybe you've read Galatians 6, where Paul writes this. He says, do not be deceived. God is the Lord. Whatever one sows, that will be also the Lord. And the one who sows to his own flesh. Not like a, I don't want you to hear this as like a moral lesson. This is still an issue of the heart. We will only ever sow, as Paul says, that which is in our hearts. We will inevitably go after that thing that we have made our God. And eventually, the worship of that thing will bear fruit in our lives. So these idols of our lives don't just disappoint us. What happens is over time is the has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die.
They seem to lead us to success. They seem to give us authority with very little vulnerability. They make us feel empowered and secure. They seem to. They give us the illusion of control. I mean, look at Jacob. He has this idol of Rachel, the beauty of Rachel, and it gave him the capacity to work for 7 years for her, and it says it only felt to him like a few days because of the love that he had for her.
Last week.
But what it did really is it left him enslaved.
And so sing along if you remember it.
The very thing we think allows us to live apart from God is the very thing that eventually keeps us from God.
He breaks the bow.
Imagine
and bends the
you struggle with social anxiety. You right? You just
mighty one of Israel, you are on our side.
Okay? You struggle with social anxiety, and a friend comes to you and goes, hey, we're having a party at, you know, Dave's house. Let's go to Dave's house. We're gonna go to this party. And you go, I don't know. You feel so nervous and so uncomfortable, so kind of scared, fearful, and then your friend walks up to you and that red you're right. But when you make that
God, Jacob, that thing, your voice.
What happens eventually, not immediately, it works at first, but eventually you are going to experience the very thing that you dread the most, namely being drunk at a party and everybody laughing at you. You're going to hate the neighbors. As a result, you're Jacob here, or make it seem like what Jacob experienced is an isolated incident, because we have all made messes of our lives because of our wayward desires. I said in the beginning, this struggle that he has, the root of this sin, the root of this brokenness that he can't quite see yet, is common to all humanity. We've all brought this same kind of sorrow into our lives. We've all gone after false gods. We have all suffered. And some of you might even be here at church, like maybe even for the very first time today, because your life is a mess. And it might be hard in this moment for you to untangle, like, how much of that is your own foolish desire, and how much of that is your own sin, and how much of that is suffering at the hands of others. If that's you, first of all, you are in good company. We've all been in spaces like that. We've all been broken. But I want you to realize what your experience was. It might feel painful, it might feel challenging in the moment. Pressure that they were never meant to bear. And that there is nothing wrong with loving your children, David. There's nothing wrong with that. Of course not. And you might never say that my children are your God, but they cannot bear the weight of being the center of your identity. And so you can functionally reveal that you have made them the center of your life by through anxiety, through control, through overprotection, through even through pride in them. I'm not saying stop loving your children. I mean, we just had these testimonies of these kids and these women who, like, their moms have been this amazing grace in their lives. And I go, keep it up. I'm saying you have to love God more than you love your kids. And as you do that, as Christ becomes the center of your life, okay, we're moving up, I hope. As Christ becomes the center of your life and the center of your heart, what you're going to find is it becomes a blessing, a greater blessing than you could ever give to your children by making them the center. Fix your eyes on Jesus. But can you see, in Jacob's case at least, how he kind of needed this? He kind of needed this moment. Can you see how the Lord, even though he's never mentioned in these verses, might be using the sin of Laban to bring about like an awakening in Jacob's heart? Like, God hasn't left him. Even if Jacob hasn't really paid attention to God, God is still faithful to the promises that he's made. Okay, so let's look finally at the consequences that come about because of all this. Just what happens when it comes crashing down. Verse 26, Laban said, "It is not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." I mean, can you imagine the twist of the knife that those words felt like for Jacob? This is a younger who has stolen the blessing from the firstborn. And Laban goes, that's not how we do it here, son. He's forced to hear the echo of his own sin directed right back at him. He says, complete the week of this one. That's an idiom to mean complete another 7 years, and we will give you all, the other also in return for serving me another 7 years. Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his female servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. And so Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served Laban for another 7 years. Now, sadly for Jacob, this trial, this brokenness is just kind of starting. It's not over. First of all, he has to serve another 7 years for Rachel. He's eventually able to marry Rachel. He's eventually able to get that which his heart desires. But notice that it says nothing about the love that empowered him for another 7 years of labor. There's no celebration or excitement. It only felt like a few days anymore. When he finally gets what he wants, notice it doesn't solve the problem of his heart. He gets what he thought he wanted, but he doesn't get any peace. In fact, it leads to greater sorrow for him. As we're going to see next week, this is only the beginning of the drama in Jacob's family. His brokenness, his wayward desires are going to be felt in Leah, in Rachel, and in future generations, but there is hope. Okay, he's got a ways to go still, but this is the beginning of his transformation. The Lord has not left him, and the Lord is going to faithfully stay with him and walk with him along the way. And we're going to see in the next week's text how the Lord is going to begin to redeem all of this wreckage. Okay, I said at the beginning, we need this text because this text is such a reflection of our own hearts. Our own temptations are so similar to Jacob's. And however many years that have passed between him and us, not a whole lot has changed in regard to the human heart. And so the question is, where do we turn when our misplaced worship collapses? Where can we go when the idols of our hearts are exposed? How can we be rid of them? I hope one of the things you've seen is that you can't just send them away. You can't just cast them out. You're going to fill your heart with something. What we need is something powerful enough, something wonderful enough, something consuming enough that it will continually, eternally satisfy us. Friends, you will never kill the idols of your heart until you really, really deeply see the love of God for you through Christ. Jacob was betrayed. Jacob was deceived. Jacob was fooled. But Jacob's life points forward. It's like a signpost pointing forward to the one who was betrayed in an even greater way. You see, Jacob was ignorant of the betrayal. In a sense, Jacob deserved the betrayal coming into his life. Jacob was ignorant of what was coming, but Jesus, when he was betrayed, he knew what was coming. Jacob spent years sinfully going after the physical beauty of his bride because she was beautiful. Jesus went after a bride, the church, that was not beautiful, that was in sin, in order that he might make her beautiful. Jacob chased after the false idols of his heart, and it brought him sorrow. Jesus perfectly loved and perfectly obeyed the Father, and it still brought him sorrow. Why? Because Jesus came to rescue idolaters. Jesus came to those who were enslaved, to those who were captive to created things. We were enslaved to things that could never save us. We were following the course of this world, following the course of the prince of the power of the air like the rest of mankind. And so Jesus willingly entered into betrayal so that people like you and I who were mastered by false gods could belong to the true God. The night before his crucifixion, the weight of what he was about to do was bearing down on him. And he wasn't just facing the prospect of physical pain, of torture and agony physically. He was facing the prospect of eternally justifiable divine wrath. As he looked to the cross, he knew it was more than just death. It was the eternal wrath of God on sin to be poured out on him. And yet he looked to the Father as he saw that in front of him. And he said to his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." Why would he say that? Why would he have such resolve to face the certain pain that was in front of him? For you and for me. To redeem for himself a people. He looked on you with love. He loved you enough to walk willingly into betrayal and to walk willingly into God's wrath so that he could become the center of your heart. And he is the only thing that can fill the space in there. He saw the terrible trial that faced him, and because of his great love for you, it became to him like light and momentary affliction. His proverbial 7 years of suffering seemed like but a few days because of his great love. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Friends, when you see that, to the degree that you see that and believe that, you will realize that there is nothing else. There is no one else who is worthy of your heart. Nobody who is worthy of the center of your worship besides him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm thankful for the work that you've done on the cross. And I'm thankful that it's finished, that we no longer have to strive, but you have done all that we need. Lord, I'm thankful for the example and the narrative of Jacob. He is so much like us. We are, like the songwriter says, like the hymn writer says, prone to wander, Lord. We feel it. We're prone to walk away from you, to lesser gods, to lesser pleasures, to lesser things, Lord. Would you guard us? Would you help us? Would you give us a new vision for your glory and the beauty that's found in you? Consume our minds and our hearts with your goodness and your beauty and your love for us. We know that only you can provide that through the power of your Spirit. And Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.